Please turn your Bibles back to Joshua 21. Our subject this morning is spiritual lessons from the Levites and the Levitical cities. When we first look at this chapter, 45 verses in all, and the very detailed description of the Lord's command to Joshua to give the Levites these cities, there seems to be very little spiritual lessons that we can gather from here. But if we pay careful attention and to read it again, we see from this passage that we can draw a parallel concerning the Levite, which is equivalent to the ministers of the gospel in our New Testament age. And this parallel has a reference to those of us who are in the ministry, particularly the pastors and the preachers of the gospel. So let us keep this in mind as we study this passage, that there are indeed spiritual lessons from this passage concerning the role of the Levites and concerning the function or the purpose of God establishing this Levitical cities. You see here the introduction of the subject of the Levitical cities from verses 1 to 8. And then we are given a very full details of the allocations of the various cities from verses 9 to 40. And of course, the summary and the conclusion of the subject are mentioned in verses 41 to 45. And 41 to 45 indeed marks a very significant conclusion of what the Lord has done for the children of Israel, isn't it? You look at the three verses there, that the Lord did not fail in His promise to His people. And this subject we have already studied the last time. And so here we want to concentrate concerning the Levites and the Levitical cities and to draw application for our use. Let us take note first of all that the allocation of these 48 cities was also God's appointment or God's command. Not Joshua, not Moses, but it came from the Lord, which are the cities designated for as cities of as Levitical cities. All right, it is the Lord's command. We see that in verse 1. Next, we need to know who are the Levites. The Levites are descendants of Aaron the high priest. Aaron the high priest was a foreshadow that God established as a object lesson to point them to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So Aaron was the foreshadow of the Lord Jesus. If you turn to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 28 and 20, and chapter 8, verse 2, there you will read that Christ, as the Son of God, who is what? Consecrated forevermore, as what? As a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. So the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled that role as our high priest. The sons of Aaron were priests and Levites by birth, and they are the types of what? Equivalent to us, the Christians, who are given to Christ to serve Him and to serve the church of Christ, the people of God. And so accordingly, the priestly sons of Aaron and the ministering Levites were also a figure of the public servants of the Lord in the New Testament, which we read in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. And so you see the illustration there of the role of Aaron the high priest, foreshadowing Christ, and the Levites is actually a foreshadow of us who are right now priests. However, though the Levites are equivalent or have same or similar function of modern days pastors and preachers or ministers of the gospel, there are notable differences in their responsibilities. We must bear this in mind, that the teaching in 1 Corinthians 9:13, which I mentioned just now, shows an analogy in the provision made for the support of the ministers of the gospel, as you see in the children of Israel supplying the needs of the Levites. The Levites were not given inheritance of the land. The Lord Jesus, the Lord Jehovah Himself is the inheritance for the Levites. But nevertheless, it is the responsibility of the children of Israel to so-called care and provide for the Levites. And so, same for us here in our New Testament era, there is a responsibility of the congregation to care for the minister of the gospel. But however, please note that there is a notable difference in their responsibilities between the Levites and the pastors and preachers of our day. The priests in the Old Testament period, they have no commission to go forth into the world to evangelize. It was more for the prophet's role, as seen in Jonah chapter 1 verse 2, for example. Neither is the modern preacher and the pastor called of God to act as mediator between others and himself. And I'm just trying to bring out to you the error of the Church of Rome. Notice the difference. The modern ministers and pastors are not playing the role as the Levites to be mediator. No more. That is already fulfilled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Neither is the pastor to offer sacrifices on behalf of the members of the church. So you see here in this church, there is no place where we slaughter bullocks, goats and sheep. Otherwise, for a small congregation like us, everyone have to serve. And people like myself will go hungry and suffer from gastric pain, having to settle all your sacrifices while you are having lunch behind. So you don't see that. That is the different, that the pastor has no such role to offer sacrifices on behalf of the members. The pastor or the minister of the gospel, being a believer or a Christian himself right now, can and must intercede for God's people, just like Samuel did in 1 Samuel 12:23, where Samuel says that it will be of great sin for him as a prophet, as a priest, not interceding for God's people. And so to present the role of the pastors and the minister of the gospel right now in our New Testament age is to intercede and to teach God's people the word of God, and to present the sacrifice of praise with their lips on the behalf of the people. But in no way is the pastor supposed to perform the role of the Old Testament priest. Thank God that the Old Testament system had passed away, because Jesus Christ, our great high priest, had fulfilled all that. And we as believers, those of us who are in Christ, in union with Him, we share with the Lord Jesus the title of both King and Priest. You read this in Revelation 1 verse 6 and 7. Thanks be to God that now you as a believers, you are as priests yourself. And so you as priests, you have this free access into the throne room of God to praise and to make your petition known to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one need to do that on your behalf right now. You and I as believers, made priests right now, through the righteousness of Christ, through the blood of Christ, you have this free access before the throne of grace and to place before at His feet all your petitions, all your prayers and supplication. So then, Joshua chapter 21 not only teaches us in supplying the needs of the Levites, or in our case, the minister of the gospel, but it also shows us as a church, as a corporate body, as members of the corporate body of Christ, our individual as well as our corporate responsibility to one another in the Lord. Observe in this passage that God intends to scatter the 48 cities throughout the nation of Israel, throughout the promised land. They are not clustered together. There were three families of the Levites, namely the Kohite, the Gershon, and the family of Merari. God, in His wisdom, did not intend for the tribe of Levi to have their territorial inheritance. He scattered them throughout the nation in all these different 48 cities. The representative, we read in verse 1 of Joshua 21, they came forward to make a request based on God's command previously given to Moses in Numbers 35 verse 2. Again, we are reminded that it is God who is sovereign and infinitely wise in this whole plan of setting up this Levitical cities and the appointment of the Levites. God had a plan and purpose for the Levites and the Levitical city. Similarly for us, here in this congregation, in our church, God has a plan and a purpose for you and I to be part of this local church and in this particular location. Firstly, let us look at God's purpose for the tribe of Levites during their time or while they were in the wilderness. Let's look at that first. Throughout the 40 years of the wilderness journey, during that period, the tribe of Levi primarily served the people of God concerning the worship of God. Concerning the worship of God. The Levite lived closest to the tabernacle. They were surrounding the tabernacle, in fact, and as it moved through the wilderness, it was God's purpose to appoint the Levite for such a role. And thus, the Levite are authorized to minister in the tabernacle. Please realize that this role is not for other tribes. It is only for the Levites. Not because they are special people. It is God's appointment. The Levites had the responsibility of transporting the Ark of the Covenant from place to place. In Joshua chapter 3, it was there we read, or we have already studied that the Levites what? Stood all day in the midst of the river Jordan and held the Ark of the Covenant until God brought all the people past safely over the river Jordan. So the Levites were in charge of setting up, dismantling and maintaining of the tabernacle as God commanded them through Moses in Numbers chapter 3 verses 6 and 7. It was their responsibility to handle all the sacred furniture, the vessels for worship and sacrifices and all other duties related to it. No other tribes are allowed to do so. As I said, it is not because the Levites are special people. It is purely God's appointment. And the reason why I stress this, because many of us in our modern times are very perplexed or disturbed by such teachings that why couldn't the ladies do this and do that? Why only the men? Particularly in a formal worship. Please understand from this chapter here the principles behind. It is purely God's appointment. It's not because the lady are second class, not because the lady are simple-minded, not intelligent enough, nothing of that sort. Purely God's appointment. Why God's appoint? Please ask him, don't ask me. God did not give the reason, do you know? God did not give the reason why. Just as the man is appointed head of the family and the wife is supposed to submit to the husband as Christ, in following the example of Christ, and the husband supposed to love her, it is purely appointment. That is all. And you read also in the Old Testament of when David brought the ark, he wanted to bring the ark back to Jerusalem to worship God and to put it at the central place. What happened? David made a big mistake. In fact, it is a sin. And the person who touched that ark, when the ark tilted, you may say, well, the person is out of sincerity, not wanting to see the ark falling to the ground. Pure, simple answer is, God appointed the Levite to handle the ark of the covenant, no one else. That's all. Simple as that. But you get many people, especially the ladies, all get very worked up and say, oh, this is, you know, putting us. Do you know, it has a, it comes with great responsibility. I honestly tell you, and I'm sure many of our men will agree, especially the older one, if God should appoint the wife to be the head of the family, I am so happy. I will be the first one who jump for joy. Why? I have less to answer to God. You see, we always conjure up in our mind, wow, head of the family, pastor, so wonderful. When he up here 45 minutes speaking, everyone keep quiet. Only when he comes down, then they start firing him. But 45 minutes, they all keep silent. But you forget, my friends, the grave responsibility behind, because on the day of judgment, the husband, the head of the family, will be the first in line to answer before God. Oh, so we go up in our heads that, wow, it is such a glamorous role to be, you know, chief, to be CEO, to be director, to be manager, to be this and to be that. We forget the teaching of the Bible, to whomsoever much is given, much is required, my dear friends. God do not give us spiritual gifts so that we can show off that I'm so great. You and I, whatever position of leadership or role, you and I have to give an answer and accountable to God. I just want to bring this up, which is actually, frankly, not in my notes. But I know that there are many ladies and women who get, and with all this feminist movement and all that, but I just want to stress this, deviate a little bit from my sermon here to bring up to you that you ladies have a very important role. You are not second class to the men. It's just that God appointed them for such role. Simple as that. And we learn to submit. We learn to obey. We learn to follow what the Lord designed. Don't question too much. It is He. He is the boss. Secondly, now that the children of Israel had entered into the promised land, what were the responsibility of the Levites? Here the Levites, while in the promised land, as they entered in already, God has given them the land. The Levites continue their previous role, but right now slightly different, while in the wilderness. Once in the promised land, we know that the tabernacle was no longer need to move from place to place. It is stationed in one place, and is going to be first settled in Shiloh, and then after that, later in Jerusalem. The Levites would continue to serve in the temple, that place where all the Israelites were gathered for corporate worship. They would assist in all the various annual feasts and the festivals that the Lord commanded the children of Israel to observe, the holy days including. They would lead in corporate worship, and they would be part of the sacrificial system to administer the sacrifices on behalf of the people of the nation, and particularly in dealing with the issue or the problem of sin. When the children of Israel repent or confess their sin, they are to go through the sacrifices and to seek for forgiveness through the Levites, through the priests. Thirdly, we want to move on to see what was God's intention to disperse the Levites throughout the promised land. Is there a purpose? Yes. We see from Joshua 21 that God did not want the Levite to concentrate around Shiloh and eventually around Jerusalem. God scattered the Levites throughout the land for the sole purpose to be model worshipper as a way of life, and to teach it to the children of Israel by their daily commute from home to the temple. The Levites serve as model worshipper so as to teach and to remind the children of Israel to worship God. That is key. In addition to their leadership in worship, the Levites is supposed to be what? Leaving examples to the rest of the children of Israel. God commanded the Levites to live side by side with the members of the tribe, so that the Levites, their life, or by their life of devotion and dedication to God, may serve as a reminder to the children of Israel to follow likewise. You can say, in short, the Levite is supposed to be living example for the children of Israel. Furthermore, the Levites were not only called to minister in the temple and offer various sacrifices, they were also to nurture or to teach. This is the second ministry of the Levites, to teach the people of God the laws of God. God's word in Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 10 tells us that the Levite is to what? To teach Jacob. Jacob is referring to Israel. To teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel God's law, and to put incense before them and whole burnt sacrifice upon the altar. That was the role for the Levites. The Levites were not only to teach the laws of God, but they were also to be what? Practitioner of the law, so as to be a positive influence for each tribe to be faithful to God and to His laws. Those 48 cities or Levitical cities became centers for the teaching of God's covenant relationship with His people. And we read in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 8 to 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 8 to 9. And with them He sent Levites. Verse 9, what does the Levite do? They taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. 2 Chronicles 17 verses 8 to 9. This aspect of the Levitical ministry was necessary. Why? Because the ordinary people at that time do not have the copies of the scripture available to them, just like we do in our time. God appointed the Levites to teach the sacred scripture to the people of God, and for the Levites to be model for as example for the children of Israel to follow. The location of the Levitical city was such that nobody could ever be too far away from a place where they could have access to learning the scriptures. I do not quite understand this until later, until God grants me the opportunity to come to this country and to many other Western countries, where everywhere I go, there are churches. Why? Why there are so many churches in all this community and in villages in time past? It is for the people to have a quick or easy access to the church for worship and to learn the word of God. And so the third ministry right now, as we go on, that for the Levites, besides taking care of the temple and nurturing God's people with the word, they are also to be a witness and to offer refuge for those in need. Firstly, they were to be witnesses to the heathen, as testimony or witnesses to those who are outside of the kingdom of God, to the heathen. When you look at the map of Canaan, if you have, you can turn to the back of your Bible, you see, if you have one, when you look at the map of Canaan, you will notice that the location of the Levitical cities were around the center of the land where the tribe lived. Do you recall that under Joshua's leadership, the Israelites had conquered what? The central section of the land from north to south. But the remaining heathen nation surrounded the children of Israel, or the Israelites. God, who is infinitely wise, chose not to cluster the cities of the Levite in the center where it is safe and secure, but he scattered them out to the frontiers of the promised land. These divinely appointed Levitical cities serve as cities of witness. In its presence will remind the unbelieving nations all around the children of Israel about the God of Israel. What did this God of Israel have done for the children of Israel? How he has brought them out of bondage from Egypt, and how this God sustained them in the wilderness, and how this God right now brought them into the promised land, and right now has given them rest. And so the Levitical cities are testimony or witnesses to those living around the children of Israel. Did you also notice that the six cities of refuge, which we considered the last time, were also designated as cities of the Levites? So we see that the Levitical ministry was not only to guarantee the safety of those who flee to the city of refuge, but the Levites are also play the function or play the role to ensure that the laws are justly applied to the manslayer. Now for our application. Now that we understand the roles and function of the Levites and the Levitical cities, we want to draw some practical lessons for our use. Firstly, we are a call out people to worship God. As believers, we came to this church here in this location, not by chance. God, in His sovereign will, led us here to this place of worship. And we, as members of this church, as members of the body of Christ, we have the responsibility one to another. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 and 25, I'm sure you're very familiar with that verse or two verses. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, if you would like to turn to it. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the member of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The word provoke also means to encourage or to lead unto love and good works. We all have experienced tremendous blessing that come with our worship and praising God together as a congregation, isn't it? As we come together and worship and praise the Lord, and as we come together also in prayer for one another, are we not built up? Are we not encouraged? We experienced that before. We should be thankful. As members of the body of Christ, as members of this church, we should be thankful to God that we are provided such a place of worship. Do you know that there are many Christians around the world, they do not have such a place for worship? No heaters. They are out in the land, out in the open. When I was a missionary in Kenya, we worshiped outside, under the trees. And sometimes it can be so cold, all we can do is to just wrap up, that's all. You cannot put on a heater there. Impossible to do so. And so we ought to be very thankful for this place of worship, for this place that we can come together to have fellowship, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, isn't it? It is such a great privilege indeed to be part of God's redeemed people, and such an honor. The Bible teaches us that our worship should be so impactful that our individual lives become instruments of worship and praise of God. Therefore, as a church, we ought to be instruments of worship and praise to God so that those living around us here and even in your own community where you are living, that they may know what great things the Lord has done for us, His people, and that they may be drawn to Christ. Are we doing that as members of this church, as members of the body of Christ, to be a influence, a positive, godly influence for those around us, not only here, as I said, but in your own neighborhood and community? The second practical lesson is this. We are called to make this place a place of spiritual nourishment. New Life BPC London must also be known for sound biblical teaching in nurturing and building up of God's people in their faith, and also for the equipping of the saints for holy and dedicated and committed service to God. What is known of our church? Do you know there are many churches who are known for what? Music, beautiful lights. They are known for that. There are countries that are known for what? For sin. I don't want to mention the name of those countries. Whenever those countries, name of those countries come out, straight away you know. Oh, they are referring to what? So what is this church, New Life BPC London, known for? This must be our purpose. For the equipping of the saints, for the nurturing and building up of God's people, for holy worship, reverential worship, and for meaningful, purposeful fellowship to provoke one another. This must be the purpose for God to place us here in this location, and every member and every leader of this church must be committed to making full use of all these means of grace. Because, as I said earlier, we are all accountable to God, and we have to give an answer to God, even as believers, for what we have done with all these means of grace that God has so graciously accorded to us, His people. Every believer, if you are a true believer, you must see the need of the local church to be part of it, so that you may find a place where you can grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's ordained purpose to institute the church, to be ordained centers for the believers' ongoing spiritual nourishment and also providing them a place for Christian fellowship and service. Some may say, well, now that I'm a priest, I have the word of God, do I need to come for Sunday worship? I don't need. I can study the Bible alone. Well, sure, you can do that on a personal basis. But don't forget, the same Bible teaches us that there is a need for corporate worship. It is both inside. Both parts are inside. Individually, you as a believer, you have the responsibility to set aside time, to make effort in the studying and meditation of God's Word, to build up yourself spiritually, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to pray. But corporately, we are to come together. So this means of grace is something you and I cannot fully benefit of coming together for corporate worship, that you and I cannot fully benefit when we stay at home sitting in front of our television or through a radio ministry. I'm not saying those things are bad. In cases where people are infirm, weak, in the nursing home, sure, they have no other choice. They cannot travel anymore. We can understand that. But for those of us who are well and healthy, who have the opportunity, and we have given the freedom of worship and this place of worship, it is our responsibility to make full use of it. This means of grace is for us. And as we come together as a corporate body of Christ, we will find meaningful spiritual nourishment and worship. The third practical lesson for us to realize is that we are called to be witnesses for Christ, just as the Levites, just as the Levitical cities. We are to be witness to the people in our neighborhood who do not know the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Friends, evangelism is not an option for the Christians, but it is a clear mandate from our Lord Jesus Christ. Where? Matthew 28 verses 19 to 20. It is not only for the pastors, for the preachers, for the ministers of the gospel. Every one of us as Christians, we have this responsibility to bear witness for our Lord Jesus. At our place of work, at home, at our place of study, even at our place of leisure. Let me quickly illustrate this, even at our place of leisure. Do not take this very lightly. Your testimony during your time of leisure. I perhaps may have said this before. Some years back, when I was in Canada, someone relayed to me a event that has done great damage to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a pastor who likes to play badminton. Like me. Now I don't. And he is a very competitive badminton player. Must win. Cannot lose. he thinks he's the all England champion. So during one of the game, there is such a thing called line call. You know what is a line call? Where the shuttle drops. Is it on the line? Outside the line? Where? And of course the cameras were captured. But we are playing for as a sport, as an exercise. There's no camera. And so among the players, there were a few. One particular was a non-believer. And the rest who were watching was quite sure that the shuttle fell out. Just out. But this pastor, because of his competitive spirit, he insisted that it is in. It's just a game. But because of that, that gives a very bad impression to the unbelievers. That, wow, you pastors are all very hypocrite. Everyone sees that it is out, and you are so insistent that you are in. You see that? So, brethren, be very careful The world is watching us. We have a testimony. We have a responsibility, not only to one another, but our witnesses has great impact. We can be stumbling stone or a pointer to those who are outside of the kingdom of God. The Bible shows us that in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. So we have the role to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we reach out to the people around us, they are going to see us for who we are. They will either see us or see the credibility of our Christian witness, or they will see the hypocrisy of our lives. The final fourth lesson we can draw from here is that we are called to provide safety and security to the needy. Now, by this, I want to make a qualification here of what I have said. I am not advocating social gospel. The church must indeed be charitable. However, the church is not a charity organization, though by law, I think, we must be registered under the Charity Commission. But the church is not a charity organization to dish out welfare to those who are in need and who those who are seeking refuge. Do we have a role for that? Yes. In the scripture? Yes. Therefore, but I want us to make note observe that the use of the Levitical cities is for the Levites and the children of Israel. What does that tell us? It is for the people of God. Meaning to say, the refuge and the help must first be given to those who are of like-minded faith. And I know that there are some who are very quick, James says that, but when someone in need, are we not supposed to give help, give money, give whatever? Read very carefully. If thy brother, he did not say if someone outside of the church. You see that? If thy brother is in need, don't just say, I'll pray for you. Please take note. If by meaning to say those in the same household of faith. So our providing the need and the refuge to others is first of all begins from within. And so therefore, in fulfilling our responsibility to provide security or safety to the needy, our foremost priority is to those who are of the same household of faith. Galatians 6:10. There are many people today, both Christians and non-Christians alike that I know of, who do not see the local church as a place of refuge and help. They do not see a place where they can receive comfort and solace from the harsh reality of the sin of this sin-sick world. Perhaps it is because, in fact I think it is, the bad testimony of God's people. And therefore I urge and I beseech every member of this church, put on a smile, be friendly, don't frown, don't come into the church like the whole world is collapsing on you. You are God's people. Put on a smile, be friendly to extend a right hand of fellowship to those who join us each Sunday for worship. Show love. Ask the Lord to help you that we may show love to one another and show love to those who comes into our door. As members of this church, we must work towards reflecting Christ's love in our lives so that His love and His grace may draw those outside of His kingdom to Himself. Let us bear in mind that God put us here together to form this local church so that as believers we may be salt of the earth and light of the world. Matthew 5:13 and 14. And we do so for God's glory. We do so for Jesus' sake. We have an effort. We have to make an effort to seek out those who come through our doors. They may be hurting. They may be seeking refuge. They may be looking to you for direction, to point them to the source of all that they needed, of all the help that they needed, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust that this very brief study of Joshua 21, why God in His divine purpose has redeemed us to His people and to disperse us to every part of the world and every part of, in our community, in our neighborhood, locally or elsewhere, to disperse us to the various schools, to the various places of learning, to disperse us in to our various vocation, and to disperse us in the local church to this current location here in Queen's Park, so that we can be like the Levites. A call out people to worship God, to make this place where God's people can receive clear, sound, biblical, spiritual nourishment, to be witnesses for Christ, and to provide a safety and a refuge to the lost and needy, beginning with those who are of the same household of faith. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we confess before Thee that oftentimes we have failed to be Levites. We have failed in our responsibilities and duties to one another. Oftentimes we have very little care and concern to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Oftentimes we are so caught up by our own affairs, our own life, and we forget that we ought to consider others better than ourselves, as You have instructed us in Your Word. O gracious, loving Father, help us not to look to ourselves, but to look to the needs of others, particularly to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray that You will also help us to do our part in reaching out as witnesses to those around us in this community and in our own neighborhood, that we may be salt of the earth and light of the world for Your glory in leading others to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to be mindful of this and give us the grace and the strength that we may live out the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ wherever You have placed us. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.